We'd like to begin this morning with a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you be with us as you have promised that where two or three are gathered together in your name, you will be there. And we pray that you open our hearts by your Holy Spirit and make them receptive to the warning which you've given us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to welcome those who are worshiping with us by means of the tape. We're having our service this morning from La Crosse here in God's country, and we had a beautiful, beautiful day yesterday. It was one of those beautiful summer days that you have in Wisconsin, except for the very end when all of a sudden the blue skies clouded over, the sun went under, and we were hit with a terrific storm, tremendous winds. We were afraid the trees were going to blow over. And it came very suddenly and unexpectedly. It kind of reminded me of what we have in our text here today, where everything seemed to be so calm for a while, and then all of a sudden a very, very bitter storm struck. We have this morning one of the most solemn sections of Holy Scripture that you're ever going to find. It records for us the devastating fall of Simon Peter. And it happens just like it happened back in the Garden of Eden, where Adam fell so very, very quickly. It just didn't take very long at all. And it's the same thing here with Adam's offspring. The fall comes so shockingly suddenly, and the battle is over almost before it begins. And the text ends with some bitter tears being shed. We'd like to invite all of you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at verses 69 through 75. Bitter, bitter tears. The text begins this way. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. One, two, three, you're out. Just that quickly. The scene opens in the palace. And Peter is sitting there with the servants in the palace. And this right away is a dangerous sign. Psalm 1 verse 1 tells us, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And that's exactly where Peter is sitting right now. Immediately comes denial number one. A young girl comes in and says to him, Yeah, you were with Jesus of Galilee. And Peter said, No, not me. I don't even know what you're talking about. Then he gets up, moves from the palace out into the porch. But a change of scenery doesn't mean much at this stage of the game. Peter can run, but he can't hide. And as he's there, another girl comes up and points him out. This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denies, this time with an oath. Now, he's getting deeper and deeper into the mire. And then finally, a third time. This one was with Jesus of Nazareth. Your speech betrays you. Well, it should have. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So it's true, the speech should betray a child of God. But Peter denies again the third time, this time with cursing and swearing. And that seemed to settle the matter. But then came very suddenly a turn of events. Immediately, the cock crew. Now, the darkness of night, just before dawn, was pierced by the shrill sound of the crowing of the rooster. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus had said would happen. He told Peter, "Before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And it's exactly what happened. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which he said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, Peter remembered. At least that's a good sign, isn't it? That Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him. And here we see the Holy Spirit at work. In John chapter 14, verse 26, we have the promise, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And you and I have seen this happen in our own lifetime, have we not? If we're studying Scripture and if we're meditating upon it, and you may not even memorize it. You're just reading it, you're studying it, you're meditating upon it, and you find out that in the time of a crisis, the Holy Spirit brings back to you the words of Jesus Christ. This happens over and over and over again. I don't know how many times I've made hospital visits and I've had something planned that I was going to say, but during the course of the visit, all of a sudden, other passages came to mind. And this was the Holy Spirit bringing to remembrance some of the things that Christ had said. And so you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and you use these things. And Jesus told his disciples, as he tells you and me, that when you're under the gun, you don't plan ahead what you're going to say. But the Holy Spirit will give you in that hour the very words that you should say. We've all had this happen. And so here, the Lord Jesus uses the crowing of a rooster to bring Peter to remembrance as to what he said. There were bitter tears that were shed, but not with the same result as it happens at other times. Way back in Genesis chapter 4, there were bitter tears shed too, or Genesis chapter 27, rather, verse 34. "And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. And he said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father." This was the man that had sold his birthright, sold his spiritual birthright for a mess of pottage. And his reasoning was, "I'm going to die anyway, and what good is this birthright going to do to me?" He didn't have any real faith in the meaning of that birthright. There was no spiritual meaning here at all for him. It all centered here in this life, and he sold it all away. And then when he found out that he had really lost his birthright and his brother had gotten it, he wept with bitter tears. But it was too late. It was too late. And you can be very sure that at the last day, when the Lord Jesus says to the goats, "Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels," there are going to be bitter, bitter tears that are going to be shed. But it's going to be too late. In Peter's case, thank God it wasn't too late. Psalm 130, verse 4 tells us, "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." And at the very time that Jesus had told Peter Satan is going to sift you like wheat. The Lord also told Peter, but I have prayed for you. And this is what made the difference. Not any strength in Peter. Now, Peter was no different from Judas or Esau or anyone else as far as human strength was concerned. The difference was in the words of Jesus, I have prayed for you. And so the King of creation uses the crowing of a rooster to bring to Peter's mind the words that Jesus Christ had said. And how often the Lord Jesus uses nature to comfort us and to bring us into mind to some of the words that He's spoken. I think of the words of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I remember this passage, I think, every single time we have the first snowfall of the year. And that beautiful white snow comes and covers the ground, and you think of this beautiful passage, and God uses an act of nature to bring to mind the words that He's spoken to us. Or that beautiful section in Song of Solomon chapter 2. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. And you hear the voice of the turtle dove and that soft cooing to usher in the spring. It brings to mind the precious promise of Jesus Christ that someday He's going to come and lead us into a new kingdom where the curse is already all going to be gone, the winter will be past forever, and we'll enter into the joy of our Lord. These are things in nature that bring us back to the words of Jesus. And that's what happens to Peter. And yes, the story is going to have a happy ending. But right now it ends with the bitter tears. Now, it is certainly not our purpose this morning to point the accusing finger of guilt at Simon Peter. If we would do that, what another man has said would certainly apply, that at the very time that you're pointing a finger at someone else, you've got three fingers pointing right back at you. And you and I are no better by nature than Simon Peter. We're subject to the same fall that he went through. So it's not our intention here to point a finger at Simon Peter and ridicule him or deride him in any way. But at the very same time, Scripture does tell us that these things were written as examples for us. And the Holy Spirit has recorded these things for us in the fall of Simon Peter, so that you and I can learn from these things. And hopefully to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We read here about the threefold denial of Peter. And if it comes as a surprise to us, it shouldn't. Because Peter was walking down a road that could have no other ending. This thing was not decided in the palace of the high priest. It had been decided some time before that. There were at least six steps that we have here in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, that show the fall of Simon Peter. And for your warning and mine, the Holy Spirit has recorded these. And let's take a look right now at the six steps that led to Peter denying his Savior, not once, not twice, but three times, and that ended with the bitter tears in an episode that almost cost this man his soul. The first step, step number one, is found in Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And Peter did not believe that. To put it bluntly, Peter did not believe the word of God. We say, well, he did too. Well, he believed some of it. But he didn't believe all of it. He didn't believe Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ told him that he was going to deny him. Peter did not believe that. And in fact, he said to Jesus, I mean, everybody else might, but not me. Peter did not believe Jesus Christ when Jesus told him how weak he was. Is it not true that you and I sometimes have the same unbelief in our own hearts? It should not be that way, my friends, because when you look in Scripture and see what the child of God is compared to, it should be a warning to us. We are compared to sheep. We are sheep in the flock of the Good Shepherd. Now, a sheep is not a vicious animal. And the devil is compared to wolves, a pack of ravening wolves, or a roaring lion. Now, what chance does a sheep have coming up against a lion or a wolf? And yet, oftentimes, we don't really believe this. Now, we don't believe the Word of God when it tells us how weak we are and that we should separate ourselves as much as possible from unbelieving people. How many Christian schools in our country don't invite heathen people in with the idea of converting them? So they bring these wolves in and put them right with the little lambs. And this under the guise of doing mission work. Why do they do it that way? Because they don't really believe what Jesus has said about how weak we are. The Lord Jesus tells us to separate from unbelievers precisely because we are so weak. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, he says. You don't have a sheep walking into a flock of a mess of wolves, a pack of wolves, and trying to convert the wolves. My friends, it doesn't work that way. You can't even invite one wolf into a flock of sheep and expect the sheep to convert the wolves. It doesn't work that way. Now, Peter didn't believe that, and it almost cost him his soul. That was step number one. Step number two is this, that Peter was overconfident. We look in verses 33 and 35. Peter answered and said to him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee." Peter here basically was telling the Son of God that he didn't know what he was talking about. "You underestimate my strength, Lord. I'm a lot stronger than what you think I am." Overconfidence. A lot different approach than what we're supposed to have, isn't it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You don't see that in Peter here. He believes he has a faith in Christ that cannot be shaken. That's what he believes. Step number three, Peter fell into a spiritual slumber. Verses 40 and 41. "Then he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You and I are going to make the same mistake if we fall into a spiritual slumber and fail to meditate upon the Word of God by day and by night. Praying to the Heavenly Father And prayer consists not so much in talking to Him, but in listening to what He has to say to us. And this comes to us in the Word. And spiritual slumber sets in when we forget about meditating upon the Word of God every day. We're too busy doing other things, and all of a sudden it gets away from us. Now, step number 4, Peter had a zeal without knowledge. Verse 51, "Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." We know from another gospel that this was Peter. And right here, you can't deny the fact that the guy has a zeal for Christ. Right at this minute, he does. But it certainly is without knowledge. And he's going to destroy the very thing that Jesus Christ came for if the Lord doesn't stop him. And how often you see the same thing in the churches of our day. People who seem to have a zeal of Christ, but it's totally without knowledge. And they may want to spread the kingdom, but they want to do it their way and not God's way. And so you have one business tactic after another and one program after another flooding the organized churches and doing a lot more damage than they ever do good. A zeal, but without knowledge. And these men may be sincere, but that doesn't mean anything. Sincerity doesn't count if you're not doing it God's way. Step number 5, Peter followed Jesus afar off. Verse 58, "But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace." Well, he's starting to come back, isn't he? He had fled from Christ at first. Now he's starting to come back, but he's not at his side like he said he was going to be. He's following afar off, and that's too far away to be. Jesus says, "Come unto me, follow me." He doesn't say, "Follow me afar off." The safety of the sheep always comes in being close to the Good Shepherd, not being afar off. It's dangerous to become too friendly with the world. And that's exactly what's happening to Peter. And then finally, the 6th step is in verse 58, the same verse where he's sitting down with the servants. He sat with the servants to see the end. Bad company corrupts good manners. Now, when you see these 6 steps that Peter has taken, are you surprised at all that he denied Christ? What else could he have done? I mean, the die had already been cast. This thing didn't really spring upon Peter very suddenly. It was a product of his actions and the 6 steps before this that he had taken. Now, again, I don't want to sound like I'm pointing the finger of guilt at Simon Peter. But these things, my friends, are written for our learning, that we might see these things and be warned by them and avoid them. That's why the Holy Spirit has given them to us. But then comes the crowing of the rooster. What a little thing God can use to bring God's people back to the remembrance of His Word. And this is the encouraging thing. The crowing of the rooster is the first step in bringing Peter back. And the very next words after this, that he went out and wept bitterly, the very next words are, "When the morning was come." And so just as the crowing of the rooster physically signifies the end of the night and the beginning of the morning, so it was for Simon Peter. It's true that the crowing of the rooster brought bitter tears, but the crowing of that rooster brought to Peter's remembrance the words of Jesus. and the day was about to dawn for him. But this is another story for another time. We'll close with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you pray for us as you prayed for Simon Peter, so that when the time comes when we are in great spiritual danger, we may be upheld by the power of your Holy Spirit. And when we're in danger of falling and denying you, may you bring to mind the words which you've spoken to us. And may you fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit and give us the strength to stand in the wicked day. We pray this in your name. Amen.